Big Daddy.
Hey, Jerry, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
It's going good. Where are you at this morning?
I'm in Venice, California.
Yay. I turned on the computer. We're talking with Jerry Beckley, by the way, founding member of America. I turned on the computer this morning when I got into work, and I see a big picture of you and Dewey, I think it was. And I go, hey, I'm going to be talking to this guy later on this morning. And it was an article about the most influential songs of the 70s, and Horse with No Name was up there. So I thought, well, this is good timing. I'm going to be talking to Jerry anyway. So welcome to Sioux City, the land of the flood, man.
Oh, how are you holding up? It's been amazing, that footage. Sad.
We lost one of our station's transmitters for a little while, you know. But, you know, we're all high and dry and everything is going good. So I'm glad I had a chance to talk to you this morning, kind of liven things up a little bit. I actually saw you guys a couple of years ago when you came through Sioux City. You played a theater called the Orpheum Theater. And I just wanted to thank you guys for, my wife and I went for date night. And it was like, wow, I forgot how many great songs you had. And it was such a blast from the past. And so I'm a big fan of America. So I just wanted to say thanks for giving me time this morning to talk to you.
Not my pleasure. You know, I think that was one of the great things about an America show. And I'd much rather go that way around when people go, and you can see them nudge each other and go, oh, I forgot that one. Oh, I forgot they did that one. Which is better than people having such high expectations that you have a hard time meeting. So I think we kind of surprised people with the strength of that show.
Well, I remember, you know, because I'm a child of the 70s, man. You couldn't turn on a radio without hearing an America tune of some sort. And so I grew up with you guys. And so, you know, now I've heard that you're giving up the traveling schedule with America. You've been with them for, what, 53 years. And you're calling it quits, huh?
I've retired from touring. I'm still, you know, a member of, partner of America, and doing a lot of press right now for a Hollywood Bowl project. And, you know, so I'm still, and there's a lovely documentary coming out. But I did, as did Dewey, my partner, did 53 straight years, over 100 shows a year. And I just knew it was time. I was kind of thinking 50 years would be a good number, a good round number, very large number. But 50 put us right in the middle of COVID. And there was a bunch of stuff still on the books that kept getting moved. And so that's how, it wasn't like, what a weird number, 53. But that's how that ended up. Now, my partner did about 6 months of taking a break and was really missing it, and said he'd love to go out and do some more, so, which I fully support. And they're going to go out. We have a dear friend, Andy Barr, who toured with us as the lead guitarist and singer. He's going to take my spot. He has a beautiful voice, and I'm really rooting for him, and I'm sure they're going to go out into July through November, and I'm sure those shows will be fantastic. But for me, my touring days are over.
Well, I talked with Gordon Lightfoot right before he died, and he was talking about his latest project, and he had found a whole bunch of old songs that he had written while they were on tour, you know, in the earlier days, just never got around to finishing them up. And it sounds like this new solo project, by the way, congratulations on your new album that's scheduled for release. I think is it today or tomorrow? It's coming out. But isn't that kind of what this is all about? You found some old tunes?
Well, it isn't just about the old tunes. In fact, this album has a lot of brand new material. But I come from the school of you have to write 10 to get 2. And what that means is you might end up with 2 completed songs, but the other 8 are by no means a waste of your time. They might just be missing a bridge, or you didn't finish the second verse or something. So I'm always kind of rotating through the bin and finding stuff that is half done or not quite done. In this case, there is some of that. The one of the lead tracks, Crazy, was a song that I'd cut 10 years or so ago and had forgotten about. And my archivist and co-producer, Jeff Larson, found it on the hard drive. He keeps track of all that stuff for us, and that's a vital job because that's a lot of computers and a lot of different studios. And I thought, this is really great. We should polish this up, which we did, and that's why it's featured. But I don't want it to sound like I've just gone through and culled a bunch of old material and made an album. A lot of new stuff on
it. Well, I mean, because I think of America, and you guys kind of came out in the Crosby, Stills, and Nash days and everything back in the 70s, and acoustic is what I mainly think of America when I think of you guys, even though we as a classic rock station, we play Horse with No Name, obviously, but we also play Sandman, which is a little more, you know, up-tempo. On this new project of yours, I heard you went back in the studio and you're kind of putting some new sound, enriching the acoustic kind of a thing, making it into a more production-oriented piece. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of acoustic. There's probably acoustic on every track. But apart from Arrow and maybe one or two others, they're not just kind of vocals and acoustic. There's a lot of drums and horns, a lot of horns. I love horns. Horns we didn't really use so much in America, although George Martin was a fantastic horn arranger. But I seem to go to horns more than I would have thought. So, anyway, there's all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, there's layers is the way I word it. If you can get out your headphones, you'll be richly rewarded.
Now you were talking about the project you have with the Hollywood Bowl and everything. I think I've heard something about that. Is that the one that you played with alongside Pink Floyd?
No, that's actually a show. Pink Floyd played with four times, but that show was a show we did in London at the Roundhouse when Pink Floyd were unveiling Adam Hart Mother, and they had an 80-piece orchestra and choir. The Hollywood Bowl is an album we did in 1975 with George Martin conducting the L.A. Orchestra. And it's the only true record of all three of us, live record, because Dan was still in the band. Hearts had already been released, and Sister Golden Hair and Daisy had been hits for us, so it was really the sweet spot. The album itself, when we recorded it, had some technical issues. There was some noise and stuff, and as you've probably heard, we now have the technology. We can clean up all that stuff and get rid of some of the buzzes, and Jeff Larson was, again, vital in that. Very, very happy with it. Double vinyl release. It's a great album.
You talk about the technology changes and everything, and you've seen a lot of them being in the band for 53 years. I mean, you guys, I'm trying to remember. I did talk to you a couple of years ago when you guys came through town. If I remember right, you were all Army brats, right, when you guys first got together back in the early 70s?
Air Force, yeah. We spent our entire childhoods traveling with our families. You know, you move every 2 years or so. But I was always a fan of, home recording. I remember getting... You know, we had a reel-to-reel tape recorder, and that's kind of how I learned to play guitar, was starting and stopping and playing little licks and things. But I always had a studio in the house. Now, like most, it's a Pro Tools rig on a computer, and I have a matching studios here in Venice and in Sydney, Australia, and I just basically kind of travel with the hard drive and the brain back and forth.
You know, you bring up a good point. As far as the studio and you know, everybody's got Pro Tools and all that. I was talking to Michael Anthony, former bass player for Van Halen, and I remember him saying, you know, we would play any stage we could get to. We'd just play for gas money and everything. He says, but nowadays these kids can go into their studios in their basement with Pro Tools, put on a spot Don demo. They could have a number one hit in the country, and they've never really been on the stage. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Billie Eilish... You know, those records are masterpieces, her and her brother, you know, basically at home. But, you know, we actually had to play catch up. We didn't really have a live show. Our album and single went to number one basically around the world. And we had just been doing 30, 40 minutes as an opening act for people like Floyd and Elton. And we were opening for The Who, and it was amazing. But we had to build a show pretty quick. And that's a process, you know. You don't just throw it together and, okay, now we... Took us years to get the right running order and, you know, the timing and stuff. Very proud of what we built over the years.
Jerry Beckley, founding member of America. I know you guys won a Grammy Award for the best new artist way back in the early 70s. So I got to ask you, where do you got your Grammy displayed? Is it up on a mantle? Is it in your studio? Where's it at?
I have some good news and some bad news. It's on my bookcase right here in my living room in Venice, California. But it is broken. I broke it quite a few years ago, and I just haven't got around to fixing it. The actual bell of the Victrola snapped off, and so it's kind of sitting in two pieces. So I have a kind of sad Grammy sitting on my bookcase here.
Just trying to think about all the tunes you guys had. And like you said, it's really nice to hear, oh, God, I forgot you had that song. I mean, I was looking at your lineup here of songs you guys have had, and I've sang along with every one of them, Ventura Highway, Tin Man, Sister Golden Hair, Daisy Jane, which is one of my favorites. And then you took a little break, it seems, because I remember you came back with You Can Do Magic, and I hadn't heard anything from America in quite some time. So what was going on in the hiatus period in there?
Well, we were trying to find our footing. Dan Peek had left. We were no longer a trio. But the joke was, well, you got to have a hit every decade or so, you know, so You Can Do Magic put us back in the charts, which was lovely and became a staple in the live show for years after that.
Talking to Jerry Beckley, founding member of America. And I wish you luck on your new solo project and everything. And again, all the changes you've seen in the music business. How, you know, it used to be we could just go into the record store and buy the new America album or Jerry Buckley album or whatever. But how do you get the music out there now in this new millennium? How do you how are you going to get it available to us?
Well, I think that a lot of the same avenues are still there. This album, Blue Alon, has done a great job. There is vinyl, the actual vinyl of this record. I made quite an effort to sequence it, like a side one, side two kind of project, but also all the streaming networks. You can go to jerrybeckley.com or bluealon.thelabel.com and see all the different ways. There was a CD release. There's all of the above is the right phrase.
Appreciate you spending time with us today, and I wish you the best of luck on your new solo project out there, and I hope to see you up on stage in the future with America. I know you're taking a break to spend some time with the family and everything, and that's great. You've earned it, man, and you've left a pretty good musical legacy, and I appreciate you spending time with us this morning, buddy.
My pleasure. Thanks, Danny. Nice talking with you.
Take care.